Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. The number is 888-318-7884. I'm Cy Kellett, your host, and we'd love it if you call if you've got a question about, you know, science and religion, so often portrayed as the enemies of one another, but our guest today. And by the way, Darren messed up. Darren does not mess up very often, but I'm going to say it right. I don't know why it has taken so long for him to get Dr. Stacey Drasenkos back on. It feels like it's been, what is your problem, Darren? What happened? Dr. Stacey Drasenkos, our guest, and one of our favorite guests, certainly one of the more well-received of our guests, and I think in part because of the fine work she does, but also because the topic is so fraught these days, science and religion. She's an internationally recognized author and speaker on the topic of theology and science. She's the executive director for the St. Philip Institute of Catechesis and Evangelization in the Diocese of Tyler, Texas. Where the bishop there has a new book coming out. Whenever I introduce her at a conference, I always say, Dr. Stacey Drasenkos, scientist and theologian, and that is no exaggeration. She's a PhD chemist with a master's in dogmatic theology, and there's a million more things I could say about her, but welcome, Dr. Stacey.
Oh, thank you so much. I love being on this show with you.
Do you? Because it's been so long.
Yeah.
I okay, good.
Time just goes. It's because of the virus.
Oh, it might be. Yeah, it might be. Yeah, Darren's saying yes. I think I really hurt Darren's feelings. Darren, you didn't mess up. You're okay. You know, he's all sad in there. All right, so I think you have chosen a hard topic for yourself because science, I do believe that it's fairly easy when you look at things like the fine-tuning of the universe to say there is great circumstantial evidence for God in the universe. But you're saying more than that. You're saying science directs us towards Jesus.
Yes, absolutely. And this is something I've really worked a long time to hone that message because I think it's so important in our day and age. But think about it. It's so simple. Science, what is science? It's study of nature. We're studying nature when we do physics, chemistry, or biology. And nature is God's creation. So that's one thing I always say. Science is the study of the handiwork of God. But when you can get there. I mean, science points beyond itself anyway, because if science was human, if what happens out there in the leaves, you know, photosynthesis, or what happens on the periodic table, or what happens with all this crazy order in physics, if that were human, then we would know everything about science. But we don't. Scientists do not know everything. They know there's so much more they don't know than what they do know. And that just begs the question, who created this? I mean, because we don't know everything in science, because science is inhumanly ordered, because there's more order and beauty and symmetry in science than anything any human could have come up with, science points beyond itself. So it's not hard to get to God, but I really push that message of why science points to Jesus Christ. And you have to go back into, and I have my first book, Science Was Born of Christianity, based on Father Stanley Yawkey's teaching, who was a physicist and a theologian. But you get into, why do we define God the way we do in Christianity? Because of the revelation of Jesus Christ with the incarnation and the revelation, like you were talking about last hour, of the Holy Trinity. And I could say a whole lot on it, but I'll try to keep it short. A lot of people have heard in Aristotelian philosophy about the first cause or the unmoved mover. I mean, Trent Horn and Carlo Broussard can tell you all about that. But the ancient Greeks knew there was this unnamed God. They knew, and they were very advanced in science in their day. They knew there was some God, something, some one God, not a bunch of gods, because that's just really like superheroes, but there was this one God, this monotheism. And the way the Greeks thought of it was that this one God, this unmoved mover, this first cause, emanated from the universe. And so emanate means to flow from. So they pictured God as flowing from the universe. They pictured the universe and God on the same level. And that's why they had the great year, this concept of the great year, the eternally cycling cosmos. What did we learn from the Old Testament and when Christ came that there is an absolute beginning in time, and that God creates out of nothing, the act of creation out of nothing versus creation, which is change. And the ancient Greeks had this idea of this eternally cycling cosmos, but with Christ, we had to stick to the absolute beginning in time, because if there's God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, and they are one, then that means in the beginning when God created, Christ also created. The Holy Spirit created. And there is your thinking and your loving and your willing and the logos, the order. So we could only have a universe this ordered. That's only befitting the second person of the Holy Trinity as it was revealed to us. So there's order in the universe. There's order in creation. And creation doesn't flow from God. It's created by God. It's the handiwork of God. So all of those things fit together to guard against this view of the universe that the universe is itself God, like the pantheist thought, and like every other religion has ever conceived of God being animistic or being the universe itself, or even in the Chinese religion where you're trying to become one with the universe. Christianity is radically different from any other religion. Even St. John in his gospel, when he named the unnamed God as Christ, when he called Christ the only begotten, he was challenging the ancient Greeks on their word unigenitas or monogenes. That is their word for only begotten, and they used it to describe the universe as flowing out of God. He said, the universe is not God. Jesus Christ is God. And that solidified the difference between pantheism and creation. And that's everything. And that fits with what we know about science today. When you get to the periodic table, or you get to any of the equations that you learn in physics, at whatever level of physics, whether it's particle physics or just the beginning linear motion equations, there is order throughout science. So if you're a really questioning person and you really want to follow the logic all the way from the beginning to the very end, you love science, you realize there's a God, you realize there could only be God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit as revealed by the incarnation of Jesus Christ.
And wow. That's it. Well, okay. Wrap it up. Let's all go home. She did it. Wow. So just the fact that, like, I talked about the fine tuning of the universe, but you talked about the periodic table, but mm-hmm. these things are imbued with reasonableness and with that they can only be produced by a reasoning. And that's what we call the second person of the Trinity's logos. And through him, all yes. things were made. So you're saying the universe itself is evidence of the logos.
Yes. Yes. I mean, I don't know how. I mean, it took me a while to get my head around this. But, you know, sometimes I say that we need to be evangelizing through science. And that's what I mean. I mean, I'm living down here. When I first started talking to y'all, I was living up in New York in the Adirondack Mountains. And since then, I've decided, you know, my husband and I moved the kids back home to Texas, where I was born and raised. And then, long story short, I ended up working for Bishop Strickland, who is amazing in his ability to just speak the simple truth. And we live here in East Texas among the Bible Belt. We're in like the belt buckle of the Bible Belt down here. And everybody loves Jesus, which is amazing. It's so great to live in Texas after living in New York for 5 years. But everybody loves Jesus. And I've really been thinking about the message, you know, how we talk about Jesus more instead of, you know, because that is yeah. relatable for evangelists. So also given science, everybody wants to talk about science. So if you can sit someone down and explain to them what I just did about how science points to Jesus, how we, you know, that I think resonates with people. I mean, we live in a scientific age. You cannot think of any decision you make in your life, including this show that we're doing right now, that isn't affected by the advances in science that have come about in the last 100 years with our knowledge of the atom. So we live in a scientific age. We can evangelize through science by showing people that only the Christian God, as was revealed as the truth, could have made out of love the universe that we live in, that gives us the science that everybody depends on today. It all fits together.
It does. And sometimes you, it does. And I'll ask you more when we come back, because I got to do this break. But the fact that it all fits together, and the deeper that you go into it, the more it fits together with the person of Christ, the greater confidence you have than in mm-hmm. the Gospels, in the teachings of Christ, in his divinity. Because no matter what reaches you go to, whether on the macro or the micro in science, you're never going to find anything that has one word of contradiction to the divinity of Christ, and many, many things that point to it.
Yep, exactly.
We'll take a quick break.
It's beautiful.
We'll be right back. It is beautiful. God made it so beautiful. We'll be right back with Dr. Stacy Trusenko, scientist and theologian. She's the author of the famous book, Particles of Faith. She's also the author of Science Was Born of Christianity. And for us here at Catholic Answers, she wrote the 20 Answers book, Bioethics. Your calls are welcome at 888-318-7884.
Catholic Answers Live. We're here for you.
Underwriting for Catholic Answers Live is provided by Real Estate for Life. Real Estate for Life connects homebuyers and sellers to real estate agents while supporting pro-life organizations. On the web at realestateforlife.org.
The Aquinas Writing Advantage Program is part of Homeschool Connections' set of online courses for your Catholic homeschool. Homeschool Connections' website is homeschoolconnections.com.
When I begin my prayer time, I always enter into it with the expectation that God wants to teach me something. And it has to start with my willingness to share my heart with God, not just say words at Him. So whether I'm using more formal prayers or a more conversational style of prayer, I have to bring my heart and my life and my real self to God. And by having that dialogue, we're able to enter into a deeper relationship, and He's able to show me how to use all the events of my life to draw closer to Him.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. Sometimes it's very good to have a chance to talk to somebody who has a PhD in stuff you have no understanding of, and that's Dr. Stacy Trusenko. She has a PhD in chemistry and a master's in theology, and so we affectionately call her around here Dr. Stacy Trusenko, scientist and theologian. Have I ever introduced you without saying that? I don't think I have.
I don't think so, ever, no.
Because it's like you're like a superhero. We got a ton of calls. Shall we go to calls? Or did we want? Was there anything else we wanted to do before we went to calls?
Yes, but no calls about whether contraception is right or wrong. It's wrong, and no questions about whether evolution is true or false. It might be true. So
okay.
There.
Well, all right. You got your limits there, Marie. Now you know. Let's go to Michael in Florida, listening on Sirius XM Satellite Radio, Channel 130. That's EWTN on Channel 130 on Sirius Satellite Radio. Michael, your question for Dr. Stacy Trusenkos.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. I just wanted to know, like, in this present day and age, like, where does science and technology meet and separate from our faith?
Okay. All right. So you wanted to include science and technology in there, Michael. Yeah. Okay. So where do they meet our faith, and where do they separate, is what he's asking.
Okay. There's a lot of ways I think that question could be answered. So I hope I answer it the way you're asking. Where do science and technology meet with our faith? Something I've also gotten very comfortable saying, because I've been pressed on this question a lot of times, what comes first, faith or science, or faith or reason? I say faith, because you have to have the correct worldview to reason correctly. So you have to look through your lens of faith to understand the universe that we're in. And that's exactly how science was born, because the scholars were looking at the universe as the handiwork of God and expected it to be so ordered. So move that up to today, 2020, how does science and technology meet faith? We need to be thinking, it's actually a really good question, Michael. We need to be thinking about the progress of mankind, of humanity, through the lens of faith. So especially like in bioethics, but also in technology for making cell phones, for communication, anything, it needs to be guided by virtue. So with the virtues, we have faith, hope, and love, the theological and the cardinal virtues of prudence, justice, temperance, and fortitude. All that plays into making good decisions. And we need people out there in technology and science who understand that it's not enough to say, I can do something. Just because you can take the remains of aborted children and use them in the production of a COVID-19 vaccine doesn't mean you should. Just because you can make cell phones, or I don't know, I can't think of any other examples, but just because you can do it in science doesn't mean you should. And what we need in the coming years, and so what we need right now, but especially what we're going to need in the future, are people who understand God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, that we're human persons made in the image and likeness of God with an intellect and will, with a human soul, and that we can make choices about where we take humanity. So that's where they meet. We have to look at science and technology through our lens of faith.
Michael, how's that?
Very good. Thank you very much.
Okay, thank you very much. Appreciate
the call. Thank you,
Michael. Let's go to John right here in Huntington Beach, California, listening on the Catholic Answers Live app. John, your question for Dr. Stacy Drusenko, scientist and theologian.
Well, hi, Dr. Trostankos. I was going to talk a little bit about science as the study of the handiwork of God, which you kind of often quote, and how that kind of relates to science in the Bible and science in the Catholic faith. But then you kind of, in your opening monologue, sort of answered that question for me for the first time that I've heard in your talk about Jesus. I'm a pushback guy. I'm a rebuttal guy. I totally accept that science is in fact the study of the handiwork of God, but I also would charge that the Bible itself is a blasphemy to the handiwork of God. And if I wanted to be kind of mean-spirited, which I sort of do, I might say if Jesus is truly the second person in the Godhead, that would make him responsible for drowning his own children. But I feel that the Bible, it's just filled with sorcery and superstition and a level of scientific ignorance that becomes overwhelming, you know, by the time you get to the book of Numbers. And so I'm really wondering how scientifically, now I understand that you could have theology arguments in favor of the Bible and maybe mm-hmm. even some historical arguments in favor of the Bible, but how you compensate for the what I would call just overwhelming scientific ignorance in the Bible?
Okay. Well, I would compensate that by saying they didn't have this book. Can you see this? They didn't have
That's a chemistry a book.
They didn't have a chemistry textbook back in the days when the Bible was being written by the human authors. And they were communicating to the people of their time. So I wouldn't expect the Bible to be a science textbook. I would expect the Bible to be communicating a true message, but the science part of it, I wouldn't expect to have any explanation of ferromagnetism, for example, in the Bible. Although ferromagnetism was definitely working in those days, the people writing about it didn't have that knowledge. Does that make sense? And I think you're asking about suffering too.
John?
Well, I wasn't going to really bring suffering into it. That's a different conversation. But I would say that if God is, you know, revealing himself to humanity, why is he revealing himself to a very small population of people in the first century when we have, I don't know, hundreds of thousands of times more people now that have a real yeah. understanding of this? And it does appear to me that people are walking away from Christianity. It doesn't match up. Mm-hmm. What does it got to do with us today, what God wanted to tell the ancient Israelites? And I really think when you read these books, you realize that the creator of the universe had nothing to do with the writings of these books.
I don't know. I read them. I don't feel that way. I mean, you'd have to be more specific about what bothers you in them. But Dr. Stacy, I'll let you make your response.
Yeah, I guess I try to read the Old Testament with empathy, meaning I'm trying to see it through the eyes of the people writing. I mean, the most powerful thing in the Old Testament is the very, very beginning, where it says, "In the beginning, God created," and that, you know, that lays the foundation for science to eventually emerge. But there's something you were saying that I just lost hold of. You're talking about, why didn't God reveal everything to us? I understand, I think, what you're saying, or I felt something similar. Even with science, why doesn't God reveal more to us? Why doesn't God reveal to us exactly how the baby Jesus came out of the body of Mary? Why doesn't God reveal to us exactly how the world populated from Adam and Eve? And there's so many things God didn't reveal. And I kind of think about it like, I'm a mother. I have 7 children, 6 grandchildren. I have 4 teenage daughters in the house right now. And I spend a lot of time answering their questions. But in respecting the dignity of my children and their own path in life and their free will, I don't always reveal everything to them. Like, if I told them everything to do just perfect and I did everything for them and I cleaned their bed and tucked their bed, they don't do that. But if I did all that cleaning for them and I planned their life for them and I told them everything to do, I would actually not be respecting the dignity of their individual selves. So I think of it like God gave us the knowledge we needed to get to heaven, but he lets us have the thrill and the journey of figuring the rest out for ourselves. Because you don't need to know science to get to heaven.
All right.
I think you're right when you say that God reveals himself, but God reveals himself through the study of his creation. He does not reveal himself through the writings of ancient books whose authors were barbaric, superstitious, practiced sorcery, and didn't know what they were talking about. They were simply wrong about things.
John, let me just real quick. You expressed a tremendous certainty about how God would do things. I don't feel that certainty. I feel like God is way smarter than me, and he might think of a better way than I would, even if it looked worse to me. But what you say, that they're sorcerers and they don't know anything and they were simply wrong. Could you just give us one example so we have something to deal with? Because otherwise it's just opinions, I think, between us.
Dr. Trisenko just mentioned she had 4 daughters. I would say that the Word of God says that her daughters, when they're experiencing their menstruation cycle, are unclean, that the things that they touch become unclean, and that the formula for them to get clean again is to kill 2 pigeons and burn the carcass of the second pigeon.
No, it doesn't say that. It held that one at one time for one people, but it certainly doesn't say that about Dr. Trisenko's daughters. Or mine, or anybody else's of today.
Yeah, and we read the Bible. We read the old in the light of the new, and the new in the light of the old. So typography, we read the Bible together. And so when you're reading that part of the Old Testament, you know that Christ is going to come in the fullness of time and reveal to us the message, reveal the incarnate, well, he is the incarnation, and reveal to us the Holy Trinity, and reveal that there is, that we don't have to do those things. So people did those things because they were trying, like everything, to please God. We go to Mass and practice the liturgy as perfectly as we can because we're still trying, like everything, to repay to God what we owe him for holding us in existence. So when you read those history accounts, that in mankind's search for God, yearning for God, to know God, there are lots of times we're trying to do things right, but they just aren't right. I mean, if you looking all through history, you can see this is a fallen world, and no human government, no human system ever got it perfectly right, including our own elections right now. It's just, but that's what's in the Old Testament. It's a story. It's a history.
I'm going to leave it there. John, I thank you for your call. I just thank you for your call. We just got to keep moving because there's so many people that would like to talk to Dr. Trisenko's.
Thank you, John.
The number is 888-318-7884. Dr. Stacy Trisenko's our guest. Our topic for the day is that she says science points us towards Jesus. And if you have questions about that, And certainly, as you hear with John, if you'd like to challenge that, you are welcome to challenge that. We take the challenges quite seriously. I go now to Giovanni in Rhode Island, listening on the Catholic Answers Live app. Giovanni, your question for Dr. Trisankos.
Hello, Dr. Trisankos. So yeah, I hang around a bunch of atheists and agnostics and skeptic friends, right? Do you have any arguments using science to prove God's the existence of God and the existence of Christianity?
Ah, yeah, okay. So can science prove the existence of God or the existence of Christianity? And she's nodding her head and she wants so bad to answer it, but I'm not going to let her because there's the music. Can you hang on a second, Giovanni?
Absolutely, man.
All right, hang on a second. Dr. Stacey Trisankos will address that question. The question being, does science give us evidence for God or Christianity? Or I think Giovanni even said, do they prove God or Christianity? We'll be right back with Dr. Trisankos' answer right after this.
You're listening to Catholic Answers Live.
Bishop Joseph Strickland of Tyler, Texas, is one of the most courageous leaders in the church, known for his outspoken support of unborn life, Orthodox faith and morals, and reforming Catholic institutions. In his groundbreaking new book, Light and Leaven, he offers a forthright perspective on the state of the church today and calls on the lay faithful to meet its challenges boldly. Touching on topics including parish renewal, the centrality of the Eucharist, the need for prayer and silence in a noisy and distracted age, and the battle between good and evil in the church and world, Bishop Strickland's wise insights and evident love for souls will inspire and edify you. To order your copy of Light and Leaven, visit shop.catholic.com today or ask for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Did you know you can access Catholic Answers Live right from your phone or other mobile device? Download the Catholic Answers Live app today. The Catholic Answers Live app, available now on iOS and Android.
To many people, even many Christians, purgatory is a fantasy, or worse, a wicked lie invented by the church to make salvation complicated and keep people in fear. But I'm here to tell you that purgatory is fact, not fiction. The Bible supports it, Christians have historically believed in it, and it makes theological sense. In my new book, Purgatory is for Real, I provide the evidence and reasoning to help you understand this controversial doctrine and demonstrate how it's actually a joyful, hopeful reality, not something shadowy and mysterious, but a sign of God's love and mercy. To get your copy of Purgatory is for Real, visit shop.catholic.com today or ask for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. I'm Cy Kellett, your host, and we're talking science and religion this hour, and science and faith, and sometimes we go far afield the questions range over the whole range of possibilities when those two things are on the table when Dr. Trisankos is here, and we understand that and welcome it. Dr. Trisankos is the director of the St. Philip, executive director, right? Is that it? Executive director of the St. Philip Institute in the Diocese of Tyler, Texas, and the author of Particles of Faith, among other books. And when we left, Giovanni was on the line in Rhode Island asking about, friends that are agnostic and atheist, and Giovanni would like to have some kind of evidence or even proof that science can provide for God and for Christianity. Go ahead. You're on. Oh, yeah. Did you quit? You're not going to answer that?
Me?
Oh, yeah. We had a little audio problem. I'm sorry. She's just not going to answer. She's not. No. Go ahead with
me. Yes, I'm sorry.
That's okay.
I was scrolling on Facebook.
Don't admit that. You're a scientist. You were seeing what I know. You were on our Facebook feed.
I know. Spacey. No, my kids even tell me that's what they remember about childhood, that I let them starve because I was busy on Facebook all the time.
That's horrifying.
Don't feel bad if you do it too, moms. No, but you're asking about atheists and how to use science to prove to them that God exists. You can't do it. I recommend that nobody ever try to use science to prove that God exists, because you're going to get yourself in a trap if you try to do that. I mean, you can do this all day long. You can go, boy, look at those trees out there. Let me tell you about photosynthesis. That sure points to God. But the minute you say, oh, wow, look, there's evidence for the Big Bang, that's proof that God exists, you're inverting the right order of things. You're not seeing science through the light of faith. You're seeing faith through the light of science. And science isn't able to do that. I mean, science cannot. Science gives you like inductive evidence of God. It gives you proof that can add up and point beyond itself. But science is never going to deductively, absolutely prove there is a God. Science just keeps asking the next question, the next question. So an atheist who knows something about science is going to know that. And if you try to use science to prove to them that God exists, they're going to think that you must not have very strong faith, that you need science to prove what you ought to be holding in faith. And so you really set yourself up there to lose that person. What I recommend doing instead is ask them things like, you know, who do you think created all this order? If you ask them, who do you think created your cell phone that you can scroll Facebook on? They'll say somebody created that. But if you say, who created the 72 different elements that go into making a cell phone, they're going to be going, you know, they won't know. It'll get them thinking, and they're probably not going to go, aha, I'm going to be Catholic now. They'll have to keep thinking. But what you want to do with atheists is you want to keep the conversation going. Most the conversion is going to happen in the wee hours of the night when they're looking out at the stars, thinking things over. And you want to help them ask the questions about, is there a creator that created all of this? Probably, logically. But the real hard thing, at least for me, because I converted from chemistry to Catholicism, the real hard thing is accepting that this God who knows how many electrons are on all the atoms on the end of your nose, also knows all your sins and all your failures and your shortcomings and knows every thought you've ever had and still loves you. So you want to help that atheist in front of you move beyond the intellectual arguments, be ready to give them, but give them in a way that says, hey, I'm your friend. I see you through the eyes of God, and we're all in this together. And let me be here when you have questions, but also let me look at the world through your eyes and see things the way you see them. So empathy with the atheist. It's kind of hard sometimes.
Giovanni, what do you think?
Yeah, that was a good answer. Thank you.
That was good. I don't know. I think you gave it like a B plus. I don't know. Maybe just a B. I don't know. That didn't sound very like, that was a good answer. All right. Okay. 888-318-7884. Our guest is Dr. Stacy Trusenko. Next time, look, I don't like to encourage lying, but maybe just say I was doing a science experiment or something. I was involved in a photosynthesis experiment. Because that's what you did when you were a chemist, right? You tried to understand photosynthesis.
Yeah, I failed.
Everybody else has too. It's not like you're the only one. Why you sound so bummed about it? All right, let's go to Claudia in Colorado, listening on 1060 AM. Claudia, your question for Dr. Trusenkos.
Yes, and I hope that I don't mind that I'm going to include a second very short question, but the first one is how to respond to the argument when the neuroscientists say that our brain is built to chemically believe that that there is a higher entity, but it's more like a chemical And the second one is that I was reading that Darwin said that how come God, who is so merciful, created such a dangerous wasp species? There are like thousands of those. And how come he would have created something like that?
Like wasps?
wasp.
Yeah. Okay. Wasp. I gotcha. Okay. So, the first question then though, because you do hear this. There are neuroscientists will say, look, your brain is tricking you. The chemicals in your brain are tricking you into believing in God. This is just all part of your evolution, and it's part of an adaptation that makes you survive more. There's a lot of stuff. You know, they'll take various modes, but I think Claudia's point is well taken. How do you respond to someone who says, look, you just believe in God because essentially evolution and its effects in your brain make you believe in a higher something?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. And, you know, I held up my chemistry book a while ago. If everything in this chemistry book is true and that explains fundamentally what holds our bodies together, then all the atoms that make up all the neurons in your brain, they're just following the laws of nature the way they should. And if you, Claudia, picked your hand up right now and waved at me, waved back, if you did that line of thinking would have you believe that you were literally born to do that. Like whenever the universe started, all these motions were set into place based on cause and effect of different things happening. And like I like to say, if you got up right now, if Cy got up right now and walked out of the studio and went to get a taco, we could say that he was literally born to go get that taco right now.
I think I was.
Because you didn't have a choice.
Yeah, right.
You're just doing what the atoms and molecules do.
Yeah.
So there's something different there. And this is where Catholic teaching also comes into play. And it changed my life because I thought what you just said, Claudia, I thought that the human person was just a collection of atoms and molecules doing their thing. When I had children, I thought that. And it really messes up the way you try to love your child and raise your child when you just think of them as an object because you don't know how to think of it any differently. And that was one of the reasons I converted. I knew there was more than science because I loved my children. And so the way you get around that with atheists or anybody who talks about there is no free will, you have to say, well, there is no free will in physics. Atoms don't have free will. That's true. God created the universe with these laws and order. But God also created us in his image and likeness. And we have body and soul. We are body and soul. And our soul is in being created like God. We have intellect and we have free will, which is something the Holy Trinity revealed to us about who we are. We can think and reason and love. And we want to know things and we want to be known and we want to love and be loved and we want to belong in a community. And so that's why we long for all these things that we long for. So the answer to someone like that is just you have to let go of finding all the answers in the physical world. You have to accept there's a supernatural component to reality as well. And that's where you find free will. You'll never find an explanation for free will in a physics book.
So why did God make wasps?
God made wasps because everything in this universe has a purpose and a reason. We just don't know what it is yet. And I mean, my kids ask me that. Why did God make those blood-sucking mosquitoes? Like, why did they even have to be in the world? And I turned that into a lesson about, you know, why do you get fever? Why do we suffer? Why do we sometimes, you know, why do we get sick and die? Because in the bigger scheme of thing where God, you know, everything came from God and everything that God created is being drawn back to him at the end of time. In that bigger picture, God understands the reason, but he doesn't. We may not understand the reason in the moment in which we live. And right now, wasps exist. And I honestly don't know why, but I can accept that that's because I don't know everything, not because God messed up.
Claudia, we're going to leave it there. Thank you so much for that question. Dr. Stacey Trusenkos is our guest. She's a chemist and she's a theologian. And if you have a faith and science question, she's the person to go to. Today, our topic is that science leads to Jesus, that if you follow science to its and understand science, then you end up with the second person of the Trinity. The number again, 888-318-7884. Before we go to a break, St. Philip Institute that Dr. Drasenkos directs is partnering with Catholic Answers to bring an eight-week seminar, a Carlo Broussard eight-week seminar on meeting the Protestant challenge. How'd you get Carlo to do this?
I wish I could just bring Carlo here.
I know.
Take apart all his body atoms and molecules and reformulate them here. But he just, you know, I know Carlo. I went to Australia with all you guys, and that's why I can say internationally known.
Is that why? But, I'm internationally known too then. I got to start saying that.
Yeah. But I have a tremendous respect for Carlo's body of knowledge, like all the things that he knows, and he explains it so well. And I know he spends a great deal of time thinking how to explain it. And when he said that he could do this 8-week course about meeting the Protestant challenge, that, I mean, we're right here in the Bible Belt, like I said. And so there's a lot of questions that he's already thought long and hard about and answered that will be of interest to people here. But this seminar, this is for anybody, anywhere, because all you need to get together now is a Zoom connection. So we're hoping people will join Carlo in this. You can join the 8-week seminar for $39.95, and you can actually join the webinar and live discussion where we'll make sure you get to ask Carlo questions during the class. We have a limited number of those because we want to make sure the people that do that actually get to ask questions. But check out our website and register for it. This is going to be a fascinating 8 weeks. It's better than watching Netflix.
The website is stphilipinstitute.org, and you just go to events. You can just put slash events in, or just find the little button there on their website, stphilipinstitute.org/events. We'll take a quick break. Be right back with more with Dr. Stacy Trisenkos, scientist and theologian on Catholic Answers Live.
Hang on. Catholic Answers Live will return in a moment.
St. Paul's street evangelization isn't like other evangelism you might have seen on the streets. We don't yell, and we don't force anyone to pay attention to us. Instead, St. Paul's Street Evangelization is committed to presenting a positive, passionately Catholic presence to a world hungry for truth. For more information, or to start a chapter of your own, go to www.streetevangelization.com. That's streetevangelization.com. It's time to do our part.
The wisdom of Mother Angelica.
A very wonderful woman I knew had 4 children, and all 4 died. And somebody went up to her one day, and they said, "Oh, what a pity." And she said, "Oh, no, what a blessing." If we don't begin to look at everything with the eyes of Jesus, you will become helpless and hopeless.
For more information on Mother Angelica, visit Religious Catalog at EWTNRC.com.
Stacy, get off Facebook. We're back on. All right. I just in case you needed that. You're back to the Catholic Answers Live. I'm Cy Kellett, your host, Dr. Stacy Trisenkos. She's a scientist. She's a theologian. She's the mother of 7, and you can't get her off Facebook. That is a new thing that I have learned about her. You can't get her off Facebook.
I love Facebook.
You know what my children would say about that, because they're horrible people? Yeah, all the old people love Facebook.
That's what my kids say. Yes.
Somebody wants to know how to buy your book. It could be Particles of Faith, the number one bestseller. I don't know if I'm just making that up. I have no idea. The other one is Science. Wait, tell me how the second one. Science was born of... No.
Of Christianity.
Science was born of Christianity. Yeah. Oh, I was on the
right. Science was born of Christianity.
And then the third one is 20 Answers Bioethics. You can get all of those,
yes.
I think, at our shop.catholic.com. I'm not sure, but I think you can get them all there.
Yeah,
but,
I think so.
Assistant producer that Marie one. Tells me that she will link it to the website for this show. So if you go to this show and go down
Thank
to
you,
the
Marie.
Materials at the bottom, then there'll just be a link there for where you can buy Dr. Trisenko's book. We're going now to San Antonio, Texas, EWTN Channel 130, Sirius XM Satellite Radio, where Eleazar...
Texas.
Am I saying this correctly? Eleazar is on the line. Maybe I should just say Ellie. You there with us?
Yeah. Can you hear me?
Eleazar?
Yeah, it's Eleazar. It's a Hebrew name.
Son
of God.
I know that. I was trying to give it a Spanish pronunciation for some reason, and I just messed it all up. I apologize
That's
for that.
That's all good.
But
it's all good.
To me, we're friends now, so you're always going to be Ellie from now on. Ellie, your question.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, your question.
So my question is, I'm a millennial. I'm 28 years old, and I'm Catholic. I grew up Catholic. A lot of my friends, because of my age group, are agnostic or atheist. and they always question my faith. And it doesn't bother me. I like getting into talks, but sometimes they do ask me some difficult questions that I know the answers to, but it's hard to like explain it in short terms, I guess. Like they'll say, well, if God is real, then why does X, Y, Z happen on earth? Yeah. Or why does this happen? Something just terrible, right? So I find it hard to answer the questions, and they'll try to like explain like quantum physics and quantum mechanics. I mean, I'm talking about like metalheads and things like that. So with me, I like to think of it more as like take the route of talking about love, patience, and faith and humility. But to them, it's just like none of that matters because this world is just terrible. No. So help me out, please.
Well, I think you're doing most of what you need to do already. And because I'm very big on maintaining the friendship. I mean, the human connection is so important. If it were just a matter of, and I know you're not asking this, but a lot of times we do, and this is rampant in our society because of materialism and scientism, but a lot of times we think the solutions to the problems are just find a list of boxes to check. And, you know, before I was Catholic, when I just thought of everything as science, as atoms and molecules doing their things, I was a control freak because I just figured if I checked all these boxes, my kids would just be perfect. You know, like raise a toddler that way, it doesn't work. But that thinking is so rampant in our society that what these people who are talking to you, I suspect, really need is just the relationship. They know you're a safe person. They can ask the biggest questions in life too. They can pose these questions to you. They can have the discussion with you. And I would do you know, if it gets to be too heated at some point, I would say, you know, hey, let's talk about something else. And ask them, what does the world look like through your eyes? Like, do you ever wonder what's the meaning of your life? Do you ever wonder what's going to happen to you that minute that you die? Where do you go? And be a safe place for them to explore these questions with. And then someday they're going to want to know they're going to want to sit still long enough to listen to the arguments for the existence of God, and you'll be ready with your Summa Theologia and your catechism, and you'll be ready to give them. But if you don't have that friendship first, you really never get to the next point. I mean, you can put all the fancy arguments you want and the finest crystal you can find, but you can't force someone to drink them down. That person's not going to drink down those arguments unless he trusts you that you're giving him the truth. So I think you're doing it already.
Elazar, I'm going to leave it there because there's several people that would still like to talk with Dr. Strasenko, so I'm going to try to get them all on, but thank you for the call. And if you call again, I will pronounce your name correctly. I'm going to work on it. Let's go to Cindy in Newark, Ohio. It's weird when you have a day when two people call from Newark and neither of them is in New Jersey. Cindy in Newark, Ohio, listening to EWTN on Sirius XM Satellite Radio Channel 130. You are next, Cindy. Your question for Dr. Strasenko.
Well, hello, and thanks for taking my call. I wanted to just make a comment. I believe it was Claudia that called a few callers back, and she was asking about wasps. And I wanted to make a comment that I'm an avid gardener, and when I'm in my garden, I just find God so abundantly.
Yes.
And this year, I have noticed that I had no Japanese beetles eating the leaves off of my beans and other garden vegetables. And I noticed a very unusual wasp that several of them were on the blossoms of my mint plants. And so they have blue iridescent wings, and I even said these are beautiful wasps, but I wonder why they're here. And we looked it up on the internet. They eat Japanese beetles.
So they protected your crops.
They totally protected my garden this year. And I just wanted to tell you how God works in mysterious ways. And it was so exciting for my daughter and I to find out.
Yeah, Cindy, thanks. What do you think about that, Dr. Strasenko?
That's great. I mean, that is a wonderful story. Thank you for sharing it with us.
It'll help Claudia as well. Yeah. That's how cool. Yeah. Cindy, thanks very much. I don't know about the beans, though. I mean, could you grow sauerkraut? That's my favorite vegetable is sauerkraut. Chuck in Lubbock, Texas is next, listening on 102.9 FM, Our Lady of Victory Radio. Chuck in Lubbock, your question for Dr. Trusenkos.
Yes, good afternoon. Dr. Trusenko, in regards to artificial intelligence and the supposedly approaching singularity, number one, can you explain to us what exactly singularity is? And then do you think that God will allow us to reach that point?
Well, she can't explain the singularity because Skynet will not allow us to. We're not...
I'm looking for my book. I have the book.
Oh, you have the guy from the Google guy?
I have the book. Yeah, the Google guy's book. It's Silver, and it predicted the singularity in 2020.
Oh, and instead we got COVID. That was a terrible prediction.
But so for anyone that doesn't know, the singularity is that point in time when artificial intelligence or computers become smarter than humans, like when our smartphones actually exceed our own intelligence. And, you know, it seems like they do sometimes. But I don't think we will ever reach that singularity because we make the computers. I know that's kind of like a lame, simple answer, but it's the truth. We have to make those codes. We write those codes. My husband, Jose, has a PhD in applied mathematics, and he wrote code for the auto insurance industry and was an executive for a couple of decades. So, we talk about this. The amount of code that you would have to write just to describe, like, whether I would want the Hydrox cookie or the Oreo brand cookie, just the amount of questions and code that have to go into all the possible reasons why he might predict one or the other. Even with computer technology like it is today, you would need to fill a building full of computers powerful enough to process all of that. So I think the people that say there's something like a singularity, I don't think they fully appreciate what the human brain is capable of. I definitely think they could benefit from understanding the theology of the Holy Trinity a little better, too.
Well, the more likely scary thing is that people make just enough AI so that it can so that it gets out of control and hurts us. You know, like put it in charge of a couple nuclear weapons and it does something you didn't think you programmed it to do, but you did. That seems to me that is an actual danger. But that's not the danger of the singularity. That's a danger of making humans. Machines that we ourselves don't understand how those machines work.
Yeah. It's no different than when you leave the gas on and your house blows up. You did something wrong.
Will you stop blaming me for that? Stop blaming me for the time I blew up the house. Chuck, what do you think of that answer?
Well, I think that's reassuring, and I appreciate her response. However, there's so many people that think that there'd be a point in time where computers will just learn to program their own code.
But there is a thing, and I think you were alluding to it when you mentioned the Blessed Trinity, is this the idea that there are so many things that we do that are the consequence of our immortal rational soul. For example, abstracting, like your husband is a mathematician. Well, a machine can mimic a mathematician by doing equations, but it can't have any abstract ideas about mathematics. It never can. Not like someday it will. It never can, because that's what the soul does. That's not what the machinery of the brain does.
Yeah, and this is why I think people need to be talking about it more, because there is not a great deal of understanding about the human soul. I mean, there's so much at that intersection of science and theology that could be worked out. Like how does the soul tell the brain what to do, and how does the brain make up its mind? And there's a rich theology that could be done there. So I think the conversations are good. I just don't think we're going to find the answers in physics.
No, Carlos, can I recommend a book to you? Maybe read Walker Percy's book, Lost in the Cosmos. He's a physician, scientist, and a great Catholic thinker as well. Maybe try Lost in the Cosmos, see if that helps you a bit. You have that book too?
You gave it to
me. Oh, I did. Oh, yeah. I didn't do that on purpose. I forgot that I did. Dr. Stacy Trusenko, will you please come back sooner?
It's
so great when you're on. Thank you very much for being on with us.
Thank you for having me on.
And thanks
to all the callers.
Yep, and thank you all. And best of luck on the work with Carlo Broussard. If you want to take Carlo's class at the St. Philip Institute, go to stphilipinstitute.org and find events, and you will find it there. See you tomorrow, God willing, right here on Catholic Answers Live.